Now, let's go to the 5th chapter of Mark and look at the woman that was healed of the issue of blood. Verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, or immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, I want you to notice something. She believed before she ever felt anything. She didn't feel anything until after faith had done its work. She didn't feel her faith, but she felt the impact of that power that went into her. And she knew, she not only knew, she felt it. She felt whatever it was changed in her body. She knew it. She felt it when it dried up. Supernatural drying. Praise God. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power, dunamis, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague, of thy plague. Now, she'd had this thing for 12 years. So if she's made whole, then everything this disease had caused her over 12 years was now fixed. I don't care what it was, it's now fixed. If that had caused her not to have a family, that's fixed. Everything. Suffered many things of many physicians. Had everything that had happened to her because of what different physicians had done to her body. Now, they did surgery back in those days. So, whatever it was, man, it's fixed. Absolutely fixed. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, she spent all that she had. So obviously, I mean, this woman obviously was a woman of means. She'd been going to doctors for 12 years. But they not only messed her up, now she's broke. But the prosperity of God was released in her life. Because she wouldn't have been made whole. Jesus said your faith made you whole. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, why did Jesus say your faith hath made you whole? We know that it was the anointing. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, dunamis. That was the dunamis that flowed out of him, who went about doing good and healing. So he was doing good and healing that day, right?
Yes.
But notice, he didn't start this operation. She did.
That's right.
Huh? Amen. Now think about it here. The Spirit of God didn't say, now stop right here, Jesus, because there's a woman I want to heal. No. What stopped him? Her faith. Because he was aware of the power flow.
Yes, he was.
But it would not have flowed had she not touched him. Huh?
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. That is a very important fact. So, her faith made her whole. Now, what else do we know about her? Well, we know that faith doesn't work in an unforgiving heart. So we know she's not holding anything against any of those physicians. What had she heard? Well, we know she heard the word because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
That's
a good Texas word, isn't it? I'm convinced that the word she heard is why she forgave. The word she heard changed her whole outlook on this whole situation. The word that she heard from the Master, glory to God, changed her whole life before she ever crawled out there into that street. And the word she heard stirred up her faith. Hallelujah. To the point she couldn't stay in the house any longer. But what if she had? Certain woman had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things, all she had. When she had heard of Jesus, she came. When she heard the word, faith came, and then she came. She got up and got out of there. Against all the circumstances, everything she saw was against her. She's bleeding. She doesn't have any right to be out in public with an issue of blood. There's Jairus right there behind Jesus. Of course she knows who Jairus is. He's the leader of the synagogue. And this whole thing happened on the same street of that synagogue in Capernaum. And Jairus is right there. They're headed toward Jairus' house, which is next to the synagogue, which is next to Jesus' house. And she sees them. Well, you know the devil as well as I do. You know what he's saying. He's saying things like, you can't go out there. You can't do this. Look at yourself. You're bleeding now. Your skin and bones, you look like death itself. And come on. You remember now they can stone you for this? And can't you just imagine what's going through her mind? Well, so what? It ain't going to be but a few more days. I'm going to be dead anyway. I'm bleeding to death. Well, what difference does it make? No, he's not going to stone me. I know because of what I heard. Jesus is not going to let anybody stone me. He's not going to let Jairus stone me. He's not going to let anybody else stone me because I've heard his word. I've heard his word. Hallelujah. I've heard his word. I'm going out there. I've heard his word. I'm going to be there. Now, she had in her mind, she pictured this thing in her mind that all this crowd's coming by there, and I'm going to sneak out there, and I'm going to touch that garment. I'm going to get my healing, and I'm going to get out of here. Didn't work that way, did it?
No.
And we're still talking about her 2,000 years later. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. She heard, she said, she came and touched. Say it. She heard, she said, she came and touched. So you can see where she put those fundamental forces into action. Nothing complicated about that. She heard, she said, and she did. She acted on it. Now, number four, faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Now, excuse me, we've talked about that some. Of course, we read it now in Mark 11, 25, so let's look at that again. I had never noticed this until I heard Brother Hagin say it. In verse 25, when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, God is always disposed to forgive. Now then, she heard, she said, she did. She came and touched. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. We saw that in Mark 11, 25. Galatians 5, 6. For in Jesus Christ. Well, there's the word Christ. Let's stop and translate and then meditate. For in Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So in Jesus, in his anointing, everything that has to do with Jesus, everything it has to do with his anointing, and that anointing is in you, amen. On you. Amen. 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 Circumcision avails nothing. That's right. What does avail? Faith. 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 Is faith of Jesus? Yes. Yes. Is the anointing of Jesus? Yes. Absolutely. Which works by love. Well, of course it does. God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. God is love. It is God's faith. Amen. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Say it. Faith works by love. Thank you, Lord. 13th chapter. Now, the 12th chapter is where the Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul, began talking about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and how he works, how he manifests himself. And he talked about 12 manifestations of the Spirit of God. Now then, coming into the 13th chapter, verse 31 of the 12th, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. That is a very important statement. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not agape. Now, I was curious for a long time, and I couldn't make up my mind. It didn't seem like I had anything that satisfied me. Why the old translators used the word charity. And the Lord helped me with that. They were doing their best to portray selfless, giving love. Charitable love. A love that just wants to help everybody that's got any kind of problem. It's a charitable, it's a giving love. Well, and two, over the last, lot of years now since that was translated, the use and idea of the word charity has changed. Today, it's not nearly as important a word as it was back when that was translated. But you and I know what it's talking about. It's talking about the love of God. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Once we see that, now it's very simple here. What's happened? God is love. He just talked about 12 manifestations of God, the Holy Spirit. All of these manifestations of the Holy Spirit have to have faith accompanying, or it doesn't work in the first place. All that is not of faith is sin. Amen? So it doesn't take but just a few seconds here to take a look at that and go through that and see what's happening here. Unforgiveness and all of the things that have to do with that. You may still be moving to operate in the gifts and so forth and so on. But we can see right there, faith, let me put it like this, which worketh by love, say it like this, for faith worketh by God. It's God's faith. So when unforgiveness is present, you just choked it away. So that needs to be right up on top of the list. You judge yourself, you check yourself. Two things you want to check. Number one, you want to check your love life in God. Number two, you want to check the soil. You need to get a good soil sample. What kind of soil are you? Amen? Are you stony ground? Are you thorny ground? Are you good ground? Now, what was God after for the good ground? 100-fold. Amen. He's always after 100-fold. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. So turn this thing around and say, I have love, therefore I do speak with the tongues of men and angels. But I wanted to point out the importance of love, and point out the importance of faith and the importance of walking in these basic fundamentals. Now, we read Galatians 5:6. Let's go to Romans 5:5. And to me, this has always been such a picture of Jesus. I mean, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, He has given us the commandment of love. We are commanded to love as He gave commandment. So how did He give commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, fulfilling all of the law. And love the brethren even as I have loved the brethren. And then He gave you the love with which to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Gave you the love with which to fulfill that commandment. Now, let's go over to 1 John. Turn with me to the 4th chapter. Now, all this is part of the basic fundamentals of faith. In chapter 4, and let's begin reading with the 10th verse. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known, here's what I want you to get. We have known, that word known is gnosko, very intimate, to know. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Every believer, every person, when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, amen, you got born again. You became a new creature. Old things passed away and all things became new and all things were of God. At that moment, that was the most intimate moment you will ever know of God on this side of heaven. Oh my, you know Him. You're not just acquainted with Him. You know Him. And you're known of Him. That's precious. But what about the believing the love? Not so much. Oh, I know. We could run a poll in here this morning and we get 100% results. Every single one. Do you believe God loves you? Oh, yes. Amen. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I just don't understand.
I just don't understand how you could let this come on my family. Really?
What happened in the wilderness? They did not believe he loved them. They did not. His own staff had no revelation of that. In the middle of that storm, woke him up and said, "Don't you care? Don't ever, 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 don't ever, ever, ever yield to the temptation to say that. You just slap the water out of yourself before you say that. I mean physically. Just whop yourself upside the head. You don't have, just don't ever be saying that. No, sir. No, sir. I will not allow that to come through my lips. Now, in closing this today, let's go over to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. We have found out how powerful words are. Words are the most powerful and the most important things on this planet. Jesus said in the 10th verse of the 14th chapter of John, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Now you remember in John 6:63, he said, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life." Now he never spoke any death words. Every word he said came first from the Father. Then out his mouth, they were words of life. All words in some form or another are spirit. Even flesh words are spiritual in nature. Amen. Now, 18th chapter of the book of Proverbs says that the power of death and life are in the tongue. Now see, Jesus using that law, but he never spoke the death side. He said, "The words that I speak unto you," let's look at it again. The way it's worded is very important. "Believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." Now, we could summarize like this. You could go to the 8th chapter of John and so forth and so on, and particularly when he said the Son can do nothing of himself. Jesus literally said, "I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do." Oh, how important this is. The Spirit of God gave that woman with the issue of blood the words to say. She didn't make them up. Jairus said exactly to Jesus what the Spirit of God put in his heart and mouth to say. And he never, ever said another word until that girl was raised up. He never said another word. Even when they came up and told him, your daughter's dead, forget it. He never said another word. I can give you an illustration that people praying for family members. Oh, God save Uncle Fred. Oh, God save Aunt Minnie. Oh, God save my child. Save my child. You have not prayed anything yet. In the first place, he's already done everything that it takes for your baby to get saved.
Amen.
He did his part. He went to the cross, shed the blood, and the gift of God is eternal life. It is a gift, amen,
amen.
And it's ready.
Yes.
Well, now what should I be praying? I learned this from Brother Hagin, and I've seen it work so many times, so many times. Do you remember what the word said? If you're going to spoil the strong man's house, first bind him. Don't try to go around banging around in the devil's house until you bind him. Bind him up. Now listen to what Jesus said. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Until you bind on earth, there's not anything heaven can do about the binding. Because the earth and the fullness therein has been given to men. The authority is here. Jesus gained that authority, and right before he left, he turned it over to his body. You cast out the devil. You lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. All authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go and take my name. No other name under heaven given unto men. It's in the hands of men. So before you're going to spoil a strong man's house, bind him. You spirit operating in the life of my son, my daughter, my dad, my mother, whomever. I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose I am and whom I serve. You desist today. You stop today. Stop it right now. You stop in his life, trying to keep him out of the kingdom of God. I bind you.
Yes.
You're done.
Yes.
Now don't start trying to go on your feelings.
Right.
James 4:7. You submitted yourself to God. Then you resisted the devil.
Yeah.
Far as you're concerned, he's fleed. Now, we're not done yet. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest send laborers into the field. Father, you know exactly to whom my son will listen. You know exactly. I'm asking you to send laborers across his path with the word of his salvation, the word of his healing, the word of his prosperity, everything he needs to know, I claim him today in the name of Jesus. And as far as I'm concerned, it's done. And from this moment on, I'm just going to praise you and thank you. Glory to God. Praise you and thank you. I'm going to praise you and thank you. And start listening for a phone call. Now, my mama prayed for me night and day. Now, mama, when I say night and day, I don't mean that figuratively. My mama prayed night and day. I'd leave home at night and come back 2, 3, 4 in the morning. She's still in there praying. I said, Daddy, don't she ever sleep? He said, she don't even wrinkle the sheets. Now, I won't go into all the reasons why, but there was a reason for that. And she made up her mind, and she set out in a prayer life, and that's what she did all the time. Well, she just kept praying for me, just kept praying for me, just kept praying for me, and saw no results whatsoever. One day, now see, she hadn't gotten into where Peter in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care over on Him. That's true Bible humility. Casting your care over on Him. The Amplified says, once and for all, your cares, anxieties, worries, concerns. For He cares for you, and He will exalt you in due time. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. Well, she wasn't acting specifically on that scripture, but the Spirit of God was leading her in that direction. She walked through the kitchen and threw her Bible down on the kitchen table. And she said, Lord, if he goes to hell, it's your fault. I'm not praying for him anymore. Gloria got saved in 1 week, and I got saved in 2. She finally put it in his hands. And it worked. Amen. All care, worry, all of it's fear-based, and it's fear-dependent. It has to have fear for it to work in your life. Perfected love. Perfected love. I said perfected love. Casteth out fear. So what do? You begin by purposely surrounding that person with faith thoughts and love thoughts. You begin to surround the person with whom you have problems and troubles, and maybe someone that just really their calling in life seems to make your life miserable. Get all that out of your mind and just say, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. I love them. I love her. I love her. I love him. I love her. I surround them with faith thoughts that this is what they're going to look like when they get born again, full of the Holy Ghost. They're going to just come in and dancing all around the house and just begin to meditate on those scriptures. You're going to have some thought change and renew your mind. The way you renew your mind is take a thought and say it. Take a thought and say it. Jesus introduced that when he said, why take ye thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Your heavenly Father, you knows you have need of these things. But the spiritual law there, you take a thought by saying it. You don't say it, you don't take the thought. It'll die stillborn if you keep from saying it with your mouth. You take the thought from the scripture. You take the thought from the plan God gave you. You take the thought of the words he said and put in your mouth. You take that thought and say it. 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 That's the way you renew your mind. You take that thought and say it. You take that thought and say it on purpose. You take that thought and say it. You keep doing that, it'll start coming out of your mouth without you having to think about it. Now, when you were doing the other way, when you were worrying, you took that thought and said it, it just come out your mouth. It just come rolling out of your mouth. You didn't have to think, what am I going to do? No, you just said it all the time. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, take that spiritual law and turn it against the devil and turn it for Jesus, and it'll work for you instead of against you. Take the thought and say it. Take the 1 Peter 2:24 and say it. Take it and say it. Take that thought and say it. Write down the things that God says to you. I said I'd close with that. I'm going to close with this. I believe this will help you. Sit down and write down all of your cares, the worries of your life, the things that you don't have any business carrying around with you. Well, Lord, if you just take half of them, I believe I can carry the other half. That ain't nothing but pride. You can't carry none of them. You weren't created to carry cares. You were created to be carefree. Write them down. Write each one of them down on a piece of paper. Prepare the communion elements. Take communion and say, Lord, I judge myself of each one of these. I'm rolling the care of this over on you. And date it. Take the communion. Begin to praise Him. And you'll come to that moment of victory. When you do, burn that list. Just watch it go up in smoke. I mean, impress your thinking with the fact those worries are not mine anymore. That's not my care. That is not my care. I said, that is not my care. And you start thinking about that again, and you say, no, I choose not to think about that. I choose to think about this. I think about what the Word says about that. When you've got that whole list of cares up there, go find the Scripture that takes it away. Yeah. Go find the Scripture, whatever the care is. You don't do this until you find the Scripture. You, without the Word, burning the list don't do anything. But you go find the Scriptures for every one of them. Like I gave you some Scriptures this morning about praying for your kinfolks. First, bind the strong man. Well, that's a Scripture. Find the Scriptures that cover every one of those cares. Amen. And then cast them all over on Jesus. Judge it. Praise God. Now, you can do this if you want to. I made a quality decision. A quality decision is one about which there's no more argument and from which there is no more retreat. This is my decision. And I said, Lord, you help me now. With your help, you wake me up if I get over into picking up this care anywhere, anytime, anymore. I'm holding you responsible to put it into my thinking. Remind me of it. I refuse to let the sun go down on care in my life. I'm not going to carry care any longer. Mark 11:22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. The cross reference says, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, in studying the fundamentals of faith, we pointed out the fact that in the fundamentals, number one, you believe it in your heart. We're talking about the word now, you understand? Yes. Not just anything you want to make up and believe. You believe in your heart, then you say it of the heart, the inner man, the spirit man, the forever you. Not the temporary you, the forever you. Amen. And we found out in 2 Corinthians 4:13, the scripture says, we have believed, therefore have we spoken. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then the second point on the fundamentals of faith is you believe it in your heart, you say it with your mouth, and then you act on your faith. In the book of James, we found to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving our own selves. So, and then in the second chapter, 14 through 17th verse, we found out that faith without works or faith without corresponding action is dead. Yes. It doesn't have anywhere to go. Without action, it corresponds to what you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth. I heard Brother Hagin say this a number of times. I mentioned it earlier in the week. That is just simply acting as though the Bible is really true. You live and you talk and you think all the time as if the Bible is really true and it is really speaking to you. Amen.
Amen.
I want to let me say this to you right now. I want to impress you with the fact. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. What I am honored and privileged to hold in my hand tonight, and what you are so blessed, if you're like me, you've probably got, you know, not just in your phone either. You've probably got 4 or 5 translations. We've got Bibles all over our house. I mean, there's just shelves full of them, you know. They're different translations, different ones. And, you know, I like the iPad and the iPhone and all that, but I like some paper. It just doesn't seem right to me that my great-great-grandchildren would come in one day and say, oh, look what I found. I found Papa's iPad. Are you kidding me? Ain't nobody cares nothing about Papa's iPad. But if you find Papa's Bible, gee, that's a treasure. Amen. Well, here's what I want to say to you. This is just as much a manifestation of God in this earth as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is a manifestation of God Himself. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So, we found out that the woman with the issue of blood, she heard. Now we know she heard the word because faith came. She heard of Jesus. She said, remember what she said? If I but touch his clothes, I will be whole. She believed it in her heart. She said it with her mouth, but that wasn't the end of it. She got out in that street, and it had to have been faith that had come to a climax in her strong enough to pull her sick, bleeding body out into that street, risking her whole life. She knows she's risking her. She knows it's illegal for her to be out there. Well, these are faith fundamentals. Then the fourth one, faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. So these are basic fundamentals. I heard my grandson Jeremy say this, and I picked up on it. I've learned a lot from that young man over the years. And I picked up on it, and I began to say the same thing. And a lot of times I say it and just don't give him any credit for it at all. But he's preached a lot of things that I preach, so, you know, I mean, I think it's okay, don't you? He said, what are you watching when you're watching the World Series? What are you watching when you're watching a Super Bowl? What are you watching when you're watching the U.S. Open or Wimbledon or World Cup? You're watching masters of the fundamentals. Masters of the fundamentals. The game is the game. Are you listening? It's the ones that stay with it. The ones that love it, eat, sleep it, night and day. Practice, 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 practice. It's the ones who love the word. It's the ones that just can't get enough of it. It's the ones that just go around with that thing stuck in their ear all the time, you know. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody's preaching to them all the time. I remember back when I was part of the flight crew of Brother Robert's airplane, and we went to Detroit. A large meeting there at Cobo Hall. And, I'm blessed now to have been flying with him. It finally dawned on my lightning fast mind that Oral Roberts can't get out of town without me. Because I'm flying the right seat of that airplane. So here we are. I've been meeting after meeting. I'm seeing all kinds of miracles and I'm just, and I'm listening to Brother Hagin's tapes. I'm watching Brother Roberts use his faith, and I'm listening to Brother Hagin tell me what's going on. Man, I'm telling you, I was so high on the Word of God. I just night and day. Gloria and I listen to it. We go to bed at night. We still do, listening to Brother Hagin. Only now he's in my phone. But anyway. I got to tell you this. This was, this was some months ago. This particular night, we were watching a video of Brother Hagin on my iPad. I had the iPad stuck up there in the middle of the bed, and she and I were watching it. And it was right at the end of the message, and he started to give an invitation. Well, I leaned over there to kiss Gloria goodnight. She said, not in front of Brother Hagin. Ha, ha, ha. She just cracks me up. Oh, she keeps me laughing all the time. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. But this is the way a champion becomes a champion. Practice, 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 practice. Practice, practice, practice. Practice your faith. Use your faith. Use it on purpose. Set out to believe for something. Set out to believe for, don't wait till you have to believe God for a new car or cancer or something like that. I mean, start out with little stuff. And just sometimes just believe God for something just for the fun of it. Just for the fun of it. I started with a pair of socks. I had the money to buy the socks. That's about all I had. But I thought, hey, I'm going to use my faith for this. And I picked up the pair of socks. I said, I believe I receive socks, Jesus, just like this. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. And I got happy over a pair of socks. I got them. Now, you talk about exciting. The socks came in. That's big. Faith socks. That's the only pair I wanted to wear. Faith socks. Jerry Savelle was having to bleed for clothes. I mean, really. All he had was his uniform that said Jerry's paint and body. That's all the clothes he had, man. And so when we went on the road, he had one coat and a pair of slacks, and so he would swap the coat and the slacks and back and forth. He did not have any clothes. And my dad came to me and said, "You think Jerry would mind if I buy him a suit?" And I said, "No, I don't think he'd mind at all." I said, I wish you'd go buy him a suit." And so Dad went and bought him a suit. Well, and the clothes began to come in. So he started sewing them. He started sewing clothes. And he started giving. I mean, when he didn't hardly have enough to wear himself, he started sewing. Now, I don't remember the details behind this. But some years later, a major manufacturing company sent Jerry Savelle 1,500 pairs of breeches. It was a whole truckload of stuff. Well, man, he's outfitting the guys in his Bible school in Africa. He's outfitting people all over the place. Amen. And I've said for years, I don't want to get out without my Bible. I'd rather go out without my britches than out without with my Bible. I can take my Bible and get me some britches. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the fundamentals of faith work. We know that. But now, there are some fundamental hindrances to faith. Now, the number one hindrance to faith is an unforgiving heart. I heard Brother Hagin say this. You go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to talk tonight about several things that are great hindrances to faith. But the only one that Jesus specifically talked about was unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. But then, of course, that goes to the root, because faith works by love. No love, no faith. You remember, therefore it is of faith, so that it might be by grace? Not the other way around. It is by faith, Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. So, no love, no faith, no faith, no grace. Uh-oh. You don't ever want to be without grace. Oh, you need the grace working in you all the time, working around you all the time. It needs to be in place and working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months out of the year. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But now we're going to look at tonight some hindrances to faith. One of them, I would list this one right up there along with unforgiveness. A major hindrance to faith is a lack of understanding, or rather, let me put it this way, a lack of working knowledge that you are a new creature. Not just agreeing that the Bible says you're a new creature, but to be aware of the fact that you are not the same old person. Let's look at some scriptures concerning this. We're going to be kind of bouncing around the New Testament, but we'll look at them in this particular order. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the anointed one, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. You remember the scripture says we are created in Christ Jesus. You are not an old sinner saved by grace. No, you are not. Now, you either an old sinner or you've been saved by grace, but you're not both. If you're an old sinner, you need to get saved by grace. Amen. Any man, any person, be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, this is speaking about the inner man, the spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a physical body. Your spirit being, the real you, the eternal you, you are never going to die. Be very careful where the word death is concerned concerning the Bible. The dictionary's definition of death is completely incorrect in the light of the Bible. God is a spirit. Amen? He is a spirit. Now, he is the one. He is the one. We read Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25. He has given us the honor and the privilege of being able to use his faith and do things the way he does them. This is the way he created everything, was by speaking it into existence. Amen. Hallelujah. And the scripture said he has dealt unto us the measure of faith. We have a measure of the same faith in us that put the stars into the heavens. Glory to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Same measure. It's exactly the same faith. Well, see, we can do these things because we are born in the God class. You are not, and I are not born in the animal class. We're born in the God class. So that when you get born again, hallelujah, you become a joint heir with Jesus. But not thinking like that. Death, unless the Bible is specifically speaking about somebody dying physically, is talking about spiritual death. Spiritual death is to be disconnected from life. Disconnected from God. God told Adam, the day you eat of that tree, you'll die. Well, the day he ate of that tree, he died. His body didn't die for over 900 years later. Took the devil that long to teach him how to talk death. He didn't know how to die. So, no spirit that's been released into this earth will ever cease to exist. Forever. Now, where you exist is your choice. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, you have to remember these things now as we study this. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, the Anointed, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Peter chapter 1, first verse. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus the Anointed, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus the Anointed. We all received exactly the same measure of faith.
Amen.
Go to the 12th chapter of Romans. We're going to be coming back over to 1 Peter in just a moment, so you want to stay in that vicinity. But I wanted you to see this from the 12th chapter of Romans. In the third verse, for I say through the grace given unto me that every man that is among you, everybody in this Roman church, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man. Every born again believer has the measure of faith. We all started out exactly the same. The only difference in you, Peter, John, Paul, Creflo, Jerry, Jesse, is what you do with your faith. What you do with it. We started out exactly the same. God is no respecter of persons. And it was his faith, same faith Jesus used while he was here on earth. There's not two or three different kinds. It's the faith of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, some of you, here you are on Friday. You started out on Monday, and there's something big been happening to your faith. Amen.
Yeah.
For the last 5 days. Now then, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Read these verses very, very carefully as we go by. Colossians chapter 1, And let's start reading in the 19th verse. Or no, 18th verse. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Jesus is no longer the only begotten Son of God. No, 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 no. No, he's the firstborn. I said he's the firstborn from the dead. Amen. Glory to God. And you know the beautiful thing about it? You know the firstborn gets everything? Well, all of us are firstborn. Oh, yeah. You're created in him. Oh, listen, I love to get into that. I wish I had time to get into it tonight. Maybe later. The beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Listen, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You're a new creature. Don't you ever catch yourself. Don't you ever catch yourself in some feel sorry for yourself moment. Oh, God, I'm just so unworthy. Oh, shut up. God did not make any unworthy new creature.
That's right.
You were unworthy before you got recreated. Hallelujah. And you didn't get it because you were worthy. You got it because he loved you. That's why. Hallelujah. And you and I either one are still not worthy in ourselves. Well, dear Lord. But we're not in ourselves. We're in Christ. Woo! And he's in us. Our hope of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Now, hold on to that and let's slip back over now to 1 Peter. And we'll look at 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Now, what is that incorruptible seed, Peter? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, this is what makes us all, every one of us, this is what makes us all firstborn. Amen. Because you and I, every born-again believer has the spiritual DNA of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Spiritual DNA of Jesus. Think about it. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
But now, our minds must be renewed to this. We must get to the place where we're aware of this all the time and have a consciousness of it. You know what I mean by that? There's a lot of religious people have I'm so unworthy consciousness. Well, that's what they've been taught. And thinking that will impress God into meeting their and answering their prayers, thinking that that's being humble. Now, the scripture says, humble yourself, but it did not say debase yourself. What does it say? What is true Bible humility? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care over on Him, for He cares for you. That's Bible humility.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, it says you're not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Well, of course. Amen. But at the same time, it says, it doesn't say put yourself down. It says think of others more highly than you do of yourself. Well, if you just keep beating yourself down all the time, they don't have to think very highly then. After all, you're so unworthy. And you're not much to you either. You're just a little more worthy than I am. We can just all get together and talk about how unworthy we are. But faith can't work in that environment.
That's right.
Faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know that it's God's will to heal you, how can you ever stand for your healing? You can't. You're still in question about it. Amen. You need to come to the place where you'd say, well, I'll tell you one thing. If He's going to heal anybody, it's going to be me. Now, I believe He'll take care of you too, but He's going to heal me. You know why I say that? Because I found out in His Word He's already done it. Amen.
Amen.
So that makes you bold. You can come boldly to the throne of grace when you find out you belong there.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. You've been made to sit with Him in heavenly places. Far above. Not barely above. Far above. Far above. That'd be a good time to look at that. Let's turn over to the book of Ephesians right quick. Oh, praise God. Look in the first chapter of Ephesians. Verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saint, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe. How many believers I have in here tonight? Whoa! According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought or which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might, far above all dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head of all things to the church, which is His body. Glory be to God.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, while you're there, just slip on over here to the second chapter. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look, see that verse 21 there, far above all principality and power? Far above. Draw you a little line from verse 21 down to verse 6 of chapter 2. Now, let me read it to you. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where? Far above.
Yeah.
Far above.
Far above.
Far above. above all principality, all power, glory, all dominion. Quit just sitting around down here. Get up there and take your place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't come talking to me about that unworthy business. No, no. You can come boldly to the throne of grace because that's where you sit. Every time I'd read that scripture, I'd kind of see myself on my face at the crawling up to the throne of grace. I don't know, just, you know, this kind of that immature image I had of that. And there's nothing wrong with you falling on your face, you understand? But he didn't say anything about crawling up to the throne of grace. He said, come boldly. Come boldly and obtain. Come boldly and obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Well, actually, when you get right down to it, you don't have to go far because you're already sitting there. Raised up to sit together with him in heavenly places. Oh, my, 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 my. Whew. Glory be to God forevermore. That in the ages to come, he might show. Oh, we going to the show. That he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now then, let's go to 1 Peter 1:23. We were there already. Let's go finish what our assignment there. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Say, that's me. Praise God. Now go to the second chapter, the 9th verse. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ooh. Now back to the book of Colossians again. We're talking about the renewing of the mind of the fact that you are a new creation. You're a new creature. You ought to talk about being a new creature all the time. And things that have been bothering you, you say, no, 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 I don't do that anymore. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. I'm part of a royal priesthood. Glory to God. I am royalty, you know. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, my goodness. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, here's what happened to you and me the moment you invited Jesus into your heart and received him as your Lord and Savior. Who has already... Who hath delivered us from the power? Look that word up. It means authority, dominion. Yes. Who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? The word dear, translated dear, is the word agape. The love. We've been translated into the love kingdom. Hallelujah. Whoa. Glory to God. Children of the light. born of the light. We put on the armor of light, and we walk in the light as He is in the light, and His blood cleanses us from all sin. That's enough shout about right there, dear Lord, if we didn't bring anything else. But when the pressure's on and it seems like nothing's working, I'm confessing and confessing and nothing's happening, and the devil's ripping around, roaring, saying, after all, you didn't think that's really going to work for you. I mean, it works for Copeland and them, but, look at you. Who do you think you are? Mr. Devil, let me tell you who I think I am. I think I'm royalty. I think I'm born of a royal priesthood. I think I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I think I am a twin brother to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And while we're at it, let's talk about your sorry future. Look what you did. You're the idiot that thought you could overcome God. You're the one that thought you could overthrow the Almighty One. Well, you see what happened to you. You got stomped, kicked, whooped, beat, lost everything you had. No, don't flee yet. I ain't done with you. And it's going to be one of these days, they're going to make a sail cat out of you, buddy. They're going to sail you off out into the very, very hot world of the lake of fire. Yep. And your sorry self is going to cook forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I'm going to be walking the streets of glory. I will be one of the glorified ones with my Lord and my Savior. Besides all of that, Satan, let me tell you something else. I have a measure of the same faith on the inside of me that God used to set this universe into motion. Now, wait a minute. Don't flee yet. I ain't done with you. Just sit around there and get depressed and discouraged. Back in the early years of my life, I yielded to that spirit of depression, and it'll kill you. But you're going to have to speak up to get it out of the house. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When they came in and told Kelly that Lindsay had Neisseria meningitis, the infectious disease doctor that looked at her spinal fluid, he let them know that they didn't think that Lindsay would make it till morning. Kelly told me, she said, Daddy, she said, that is the blackest thing came down over me. She said, it seemed like it was so heavy. She turned to Terry. Terry said, I'm telling you, she had fire in her eyes. She turned to Terry and she said, I refuse to fear. She said, Daddy, when I said that, she said that thing flew off me. She said it was amazing how weak that thing was. There's been times I just jumped up on my feet and just screamed praise God just loud as I could, and out the door it went. But you're sitting there, you feel like there's a knot down in here somewhere, and you can't swallow it, and you can't spit it up, and you just feel like something, just a dog, and you're just bad, and there's nothing working. Shut up! Put on your armor. I'm telling you, strap that belt on and take that sword in hand. I come at you, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You take your hands off of me. You get out of my presence. You leave this place. I resist you. James 4:7 said, I resist you. You flee. You flee. You flee. You go. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. From Jesus, the anointed one, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You're a new creature. Talk about it a lot. Learn. I put this first. I do. When I mean, my feet hit the floor, and I head into the bathroom. I start talking to myself in the mirror. Surely, he bore my griefs and sicknesses, my sorrows and my pains. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgression. I'm looking myself in the eye. Go through those healing scriptures. By his stripes, I was and I am healed right now. And this is a good place to say, Kenneth, see that man right there? He is a king and a priest. See that man right there? That man's full of God. Talk to yourself about it. What is this? Renewal of the mind. Where you talk healed, think healed. You talk prosperous, think prosperous, and you talk like a king instead of a beggar. Not an earthly king, but a joint heir with the King of Kings. Oh, I tell you what, I don't preach myself happy. Ah. Now, if you find yourself weak, I'm talking about physically weak, you find yourself weak all the time, your joy is not on the level it should be. I suffered with that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now see, the joy, of course, joy is already in you. You're full of joy right now. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit. But fruit has to grow. And the way you become joyous is to talk about the things that we're talking about tonight. You talk about being a new creature. Well, I'm telling you, you start getting happy. And stand there in front of the mirror and laugh at your funny self. Well, I don't see nothing funny. You don't have to be anything funny to laugh. I was in Keith Butler's great church in Detroit here few months ago, and a member of his church, a man that grew up in that church from a little boy, and he's now a renowned neurosurgeon, and he was speaking, and he was talking about, of course, he's a word of faith doctor, and he was talking about a merry heart doth good like a medicine. Medical science has learned this, and they are practicing it. There are clinics that do this. If you enroll in that clinic, they're going to lead you in laughter. And they have learned that the chemistry of your body does not know whether you're actually tickled or whether you're just making a phony laugh. The chemistry is the same. Now, isn't that amazing? You can just stand there, ha, 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 ha. You do that long enough and you'll start laughing. Yeah, you will. You'll start laughing, particularly if you stand there looking at yourself in the mirror. Brother Hagin said he was having some really bad heart symptoms one night. And he just started doing that. Ha, 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 ha. Well, see, the Bible says that God sits in the heavens and laughs.
That's right.
Well, we just found out we sit with him.
Right.
Well, if we sit with him, we can laugh with him. Right, Mama? I mean, if you sit with him, you can laugh with him.
That's it.
Laugh by faith.
Yeah.
And he just kept saying that, ha, ha, ha. And finally, the devil said, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you. What are you laughing at me about? Because you said I wasn't going to get my healing this time. That's right, you're not going to get it. Ha, 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 ha. He just kept doing that. And three different times the devil asked him, what are you laughing about? I'm laughing at you. What are you laughing at me about? You said I wasn't going to get my healing this. That's right, you're not going to get it. Finally, Brother Hagin said, I don't have to get it. Jesus already got it for me 2,000 years ago. Ha, 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 ha. Now, see, he kept doing that until the victory rose up on the inside of him. That is the joy of the Lord that rose up on the inside of him. Boy, he said, I started laughing then, sure enough. He said the devil packed up all his symptoms and got right on out of the room. Amen. You can laugh him right out of your house. He is a liar, and he is pride himself. He don't like to be laughed at. Well, he doesn't have any defense against it. I saw a cartoon one time that this guy's laying up there really sick in the bed, and he said, well, did you rebuke the devil? He said, I ain't in no shape to antagonize nobody. I think there's a lot of people think that, you know, I don't want to be talking to the devil like that. He'll hear me.
Oh, Brother Copeland. I wouldn't say that. Don't you know the devil will hear you?
Yes! Yes! Hallelujah! We said it for his benefit. Hallelujah! Ha, 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 hallelujah! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, go on and laugh. Hallelujah. Laugh that backache right off of you. Laugh that ear infection right out of your ear. Laugh that sinus trouble right out of your head. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get up every morning and start laughing at that debt. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Now, this last one, this is something right here that really, really, really calls for the renewing of the mind. Now just settle down a little bit. When I get through reading this, we're going to really romp on the devil here tonight. You think you're laughing now? Wait till you read this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. The taste of death. That represents the five physical senses. A born-again believer cannot taste it when his body dies. He can't smell it when his body dies. He can't see it when his body dies. He can't hear it when his body dies. And he can't feel it. You'll never know it. You will never know it. All of a sudden, you just, dear Lord, I feel better. Whoa. Whoa. Look at that. Glory to God, am I glad to get out of that thing. Now, death is an enemy. It's the last enemy that we put under our feet. But long as you're in this body, long as we're in this body, we fight death. We come against it with everything we have. But I'm going to tell you something. Once you step out of this body, whoa, you do not want back in that thing for any reason whatsoever, because you have just been totally and completely released into real life. Real life. Hallelujah. Oh, man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, that's not perfect through what he suffered on the cross. Because in the second chapter, the 18th verse, he suffered being tempted. Jesus, actually, the suffering that the born-again believer is supposed to suffer. The righteous suffer. Well, we're not supposed to be suffering sickness and disease. That's not what we suffer. We are to resist everything that Jesus bore for us on that cross. He bore our sins, we resist sin. He bore our sickness, we resist sickness. He bore our pains, we resist pain. He bore our poverty, we resist poverty. He bore our fear, we resist fear. That's our suffering. Amen. Resisting everything that Jesus bore for us on the cross. And I'm right to closing right now. For both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Now look at this 14th verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. He doesn't have it anymore. He doesn't have the power of death anymore. I looked up that word destroy. And it means to paralyze. It means to render completely helpless. It means to be brought to naught. Nothing. Zero. So why are you going to let a zero tempt or pressure you? When he brings pressure on you, you start bringing pressure. We press toward the prize. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, look at it. Look at it. Look at it. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. All fear is connected to death. The fear of death is the master fear. You're not afraid of flying. You're afraid of dying. You can go sit in an airplane out on the ramp all day long. Wouldn't bother you at all. It's when the thing leaves the ground, you start, you know. That's a threat. All their lifetime subject to bondage through fear. Fear of death. The fear of death. All fear is fear of death. The first human death was a murder. So stemming from that is the fear of man. Fear of sickness, fear of disease. All of that. Fear is faith. Now listen to me. Like fear of a poisonous snake is faith in that snake's ability to hurt you. You believe in that thing. Amen. But when you realize all Satan has left is the threat. He can't do a thing in the world to you apart from fear. He's lost it. He is zero. Don't even capitalize the S on his name when you write. I refuse to capitalize it. I refuse it. Amen. Zero. Paralyzed. Wiped out. Brought to naught. Bowed his knee to Jesus. Bowed his knee and confessed that Jesus was Lord to the glory of God the Father. Whether he wanted to or not. Jesus took his keys away from him. Hey! Boy, now you can laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Hey, zero. Ha, ha. Did somebody say debt? Ha, 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 ha. Did somebody say stomach ulcer? Ha, 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 kingdom. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. Say this. I am a believer.
I am not a doubter.
I am victorious.
I have the King of Kings as my Lord.
Greater is he that is in me
than he that is in the world.
I'm born again.
I'm born of his Spirit.
I'm born again.
Not of corruptible seed.
Incorruptible seed.
I'm born again
by the Word of God
that lives and abides forever.
I am a new creature
in Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus is in me.
My hope of glory.
I love him.
And he loves me.
I walk.
He walks.
I run.
He runs.
He walks in me.
He lives in me.
He is my life.
He is my victory.
He is my joy.
I've not been given a spirit of fear.
I have been given a spirit of power.
The spirit of love.
And the spirit of a sound mind.
There's so much going on right now here in the United States and around the world, and Satan is working hard to magnify the differences between us, magnify the differences between men and women and black and white and different ones and socioeconomic status. But I'm going to tell you something. The biggest difference between two individuals is not the color of their skin. It's not their gender. It's not where they're from. The biggest difference that could possibly exist between two people is one who knows Jesus and one who doesn't. And I know there are many people watching this broadcast right now, and you say, yes, amen, you're born again, you love God, you're serving God, you're in church, and that's wonderful, and we praise God for it. But there may be somebody watching right now who's never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and maybe you don't even know how this broadcast found you. Let me tell you how. Jesus sent it to you. He wants you born again. He wants to be your Savior, your Lord, and your very best friend. But you need to respond to what He's already said. He said, I love you, and He's just waiting for you to respond. He said, I've redeemed you. He's just waiting for you to respond. How do you respond to that? You simply pray this out loud with me. If you've never been born again, say this out loud right now. Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I repent of my sin. I receive your forgiveness and your cleansing. I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth, he is my Lord. Jesus, I give you my life. Take it and do something with it. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I know it's simple, but if you prayed it, the Bible says you're saved. You're born again. He has saved you, and he has saved you from hell in eternity, and he is saving you from hell on earth. That's how good our Heavenly Father is. And we want you to know that all of heaven rejoices with you. And here at KCM, we're excited when you come home to Jesus. We've got something we want to send you. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and a couple of brochures that are going to help you study your Bible, find out who you are in Jesus, who He is in you. And if you prayed that prayer with me today and you made Jesus the Lord of your life, then here's what you do. Contact us. Go to kcm.org. Let us know you want this free salvation package, and we will send it to you right away.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. Join us December 31st to ring in the new year at Eagle Mountain International Church in Newark, Texas, USA. April 4th through 6th, Kenneth Copeland welcomes you to the 2019 Branson Victory Campaign in Branson, Missouri, USA. June 13th through 15th, join Kenneth Copeland Ministries at the Sacramento Victory Campaign in Sacramento, California, USA. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
Every Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is Offering Day. So let me read this to you again today from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 6. It says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Now, right now, I want to say something to the partners of this ministry. Those of you who have come into agreement with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, you are sowing in faith, you are sowing in prayer, and you're sowing your finances. Because of you, people all over the world have heard the gospel. They've heard it through this television broadcast. They've seen it printed. They've seen it on the website. They see it every day on social media. They're receiving prayer from our prayer ministers here at the ministry. They're getting free teaching materials. They're attending events all over the world because you are sowing into this. God is proving Himself faithful, and He does it through you. We're thankful for you. We are so grateful for the part you play in this ministry. Now, for those of you who are not yet a partner with this ministry, I encourage you, I invite you, go before the Lord and say, "Father, do you have a kingdom assignment for me alongside Kenneth and Gloria Copeland?" And if He does, get on board with us and become a part of this army that's preaching the good news from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle, declaring that Jesus is Lord. Be a part of that. I'm telling you, you have a kingdom assignment with somebody somewhere who's preaching Jesus. Find out where it is and get on board with everything you've got. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, to watch the broadcast from this past week for free, all you have to do is go to kcm.org. You can watch there or on the Roku channel. I want you to go back. Even if you've seen all of them, go back again, because I guarantee you there's something in there that the Holy Spirit wants to draw your attention to again. And you'll sit there going, "I thought I heard this." And you'll hear it again for the first time. And it's powerful what God can do in the life of somebody who's committed to getting His word going in their heart, going in their eyes, getting in their ears, because soon after that, it starts coming back out of their mouth. And all of a sudden, you sound like Kenneth Copeland preaching the word. You sound like Gloria Copeland. Well, when you're partnered with this ministry, the same grace and anointing that's on them to preach it is on you in Jesus' name. Don't miss the next week's broadcast. Brother Copeland's going to be back preaching the word, preaching faith, and you don't want to miss it. Until then, remember this: God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give or call 800-600-7395. Text to give is available in the U.S. only. Keep your faith strong in the Word and expect to see the manifestations of the Holy Ghost and fire.